Before we go on, I want to take a moment to thank the sponsor of today's episode, which is Armoire. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, you just swap them out for more new to you styles. I will admit I was a little skeptical at first because I'm not the type of person who dresses up very often, but you guys, this is actually so perfect and I'm genuinely so excited about this new membership with Armoire. And I want to tell you what the process was like for me. I got onto their website and I mean, there were so much to choose from. I ended up choosing 6 items and I was kind of like, we'll see what happens, you know, not sure how they were going to arrive, if they were going to be like noticeably used or what. But listen, 2 days after I placed my like case order, it showed up on my doorstep. Everything was like, when I pulled it out of the bag, everything was neatly folded and then tied up in this really pretty little bow. And I got so excited. I'm actually taking a trip to Dallas with my daughter soon, so I'm gonna wear an outfit for that. Austin and I are gonna go to a Teddy Swims concert, so I got an outfit for that. I'm like, you guys, I'm so excited about this because everything showed up in great condition. I mean, I think it looks brand new. And it's $900 worth of clothes that I'm renting for less than $100. And the best part for me is that I can just send it back. I don't typically dress up that often, but this is so perfect for like the random occasions that I do dress up without having to go and like splurge on an entire new outfit that I might only wear once. I will be honest, I feel guilty that over half of my closet has only been worn once, if at all. And there are even a few items that are going to Goodwill with the tags on them. So I love being on trend and having new things to wear, but I hate the waste that I'm creating when I do that, right? So Armoire allows me to rent these high quality designer clothes for any occasion and then just send it back. If you've got a wedding or a job interview or just like anything that you just want to kind of dress up a little bit. But the nice thing is they also have athleisure. So I got this really cute Kate Spade anorak jacket that I can wear with like a pair of leggings, and it just kind of makes you feel a little more dressed up while you're still dressed down. I also got some really cool floral wide leg pants from Steve Madden with this really cute denim halter like front vest top to go with it. And just in case that doesn't work out, I got another option too to go with the pants, and then I can have like kind of 2 outfits in one. You guys, I cannot tell you enough how excited I am about this. And right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/mama. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/mama to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Please try Armoire today. And if you do, tag me in the pictures of your outfits so I can get some inspiration and kind of see what y'all are getting. But this is so fun. I'm really, really excited about this. Thanks again to Armoire for sponsoring today's episode. And now back to the story.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy to see if you could save when you bundle your home and auto policies. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This episode is brought to you by eBay. We all have that piece. The one that's so you, you've basically become known for it. And if you don't yet, fashionistas, you'll find it on eBay. That Miu Miu red leather bomber, the Cousteau Barcelona cowboy top, or that Patagonia fleece in the 2017 colorway. All these finds are all on eBay, along with millions of more main character pieces backed by Authenticity Guarantee. eBay is the place for pre-loved and vintage fashion. eBay, things people love.
When life brings the blah, add more Yabba Dabba Doo with some tasty Fruity Pebbles. Early morning meeting. Blah. Someone brought the pebbles? Yabba Dabba Doo. Run errands? Blah. Head to the store for pebbles. Yabba Dabba Doo. Fruity Pebbles. Less blah. More Yabba Dabba Doo. Pick up Pebbles cereal today. Yabba Dabba Doo and the Flintstones and all related characters and elements. Copyright and trademark Hanna-Barbera.
To Mama Mystery. I am your host, Kelly, and today will be a solo episode. I am missing my co-host today, but we are going to get through this together because I cannot wait to talk about this case. Right now, there is a huge case creating a stir within the true crime space, and followers of this story are somewhat divided on what they believe happened on the night of January 29th, 2022, outside of a home in Canton, Massachusetts. A man named John O'Keefe, a Boston police officer, was found dead in a blizzard outside of a house in a Boston suburb. He was wearing two shirts, blue jeans, socks, and one Nike sneaker. Laying atop the blanket of snow surrounding him were shards of glass and little spots of blood. And just 6 hours earlier, his girlfriend, Karen Reed, dropped him off at the house in Canton, belonging to a mutual friend of theirs, Brian Albert. But what happened during those 6 hours remains somewhat of a mystery, and with two very different allegations of what happened that night, there is a very clear divide in the town of Canton and within the realm of true crime. And by the end of this episode or this series, because it's probably going to be multiple parts, I will be curious to hear what you think about this story. So today we're talking about the trial of Karen Reed in the death of John O'Keefe. This is an ongoing trial, so there will be updates after this episode. And in part one, we're going to be talking about just the background information in this case. And then in part two, we'll dive more into the trial, what's been going on during the trial, what's been coming out during the trial. So stick with me as I try my best to tell you the important details of a very convoluted and at times confusing case. The structure of this episode is going to be a little bit different than usual because I'm first going to kind of introduce the people that are involved in this story. Then I'm going to tell you what allegedly happened that night and what the discrepancies are. So I want this to kind of be a little bit conversational, even though I am talking to myself right now, but let's just dive in. So who is John O'Keefe? John O'Keefe was born on December 8, 1975, and grew up in Braintree, which is a municipality in Norfolk County in Massachusetts. He went to high school at Braintree High School, and then he studied criminal justice at Northeastern University, eventually earning his master's degree in criminal justice from UMass in Lowell. In 2014, he settled in Canton, where he became a police officer. Affectionately nicknamed JJ by his family, he was a devoted son, brother, uncle, godfather, cousin, and friend. He stood over 6 feet tall, he weighed over 220 pounds, he was big, burly, and strong. On November 11th of 2013, John's sister, Kristen, passed away after battling a brain tumor for just 6 months. And then just 2 months later, Kristen's husband, Stephen, died of an apparent heart attack, or what I believe is probably a broken heart, leaving behind two children, a six-year-old daughter and a three-year-old son at the time. So after their passings, John stepped up and became the guardian of his niece and nephew. Now, who is Karen Reed? Karen was born in 1979. Karen is very smart. She went to school at Bentley University, eventually earning her master's degree in global financial analysis. She worked as a financial analyst at Fidelity Investments, as well as an adjunct professor of finance at Bentley. Karen met John in 2004, and they dated briefly before separating and then reconnecting nearly 15 years later, right before the COVID pandemic. Now, who is Jennifer McCabe? Jennifer McCabe is Brian Albert's sister-in-law. Her sister, Nicole, is married to Brian, and Jennifer's husband's name is Matthew. Jennifer McCabe's daughter was close friends with John's niece, so that is how John and Jennifer really knew each other. So I mentioned Jennifer's sister, Nicole, is married to Brian Albert. Who is Brian Albert? Brian Albert and his wife, Nicole, owned the home at 34 Fairview Road, which is about 2.3 miles away from John's house, which is about a six-minute drive, less than an hour if you walk. Brian is a Boston police sergeant. He's a trained MMA fighter. He's on the fugitive apprehension team, and he was even featured on a cop show called Boston's Finest on, I think it was TNT, and he has two sons, Jack and Brendan. So before I introduce you to anyone else, I want to talk about what happened the night of January 28th, 2022. On that night, John and Karen met with some friends at a local bar, the Waterfall Bar and Grill in Canton. It was about 11 p.m., and it was their second stop of the night. Prior to going out to the Waterfall Bar and Grill, they were at C.F. McCarthy's, which is a bar right across the street. So they come over from C.F. McCarthy's, and apparently from that bar, Karen brought her drink from that bar into Waterfall. So at the Waterfall Bar, Jennifer McCabe was there with her husband, Matthew. And according to Jennifer McCabe's story, when John and Karen walked into Waterfall's, nothing seemed to be amiss. The atmosphere was friendly and fun, and there's even surveillance footage that shows everyone seeming to have a good time. After the bar closed, around midnight, the couples decided that they wanted to keep the party going. So upon leaving Waterfall's, John texted Jennifer saying, "Where to?" To which Jennifer responded, 34 Fairview Road, the home of her brother-in-law, Brian, and her sister, Nicole. Jennifer says that she got to her sister Nicole's house at about 12:30, and that she witnessed Karen Reed pull up in her black Lexus SUV. Since John didn't really know anybody at this house other than Jennifer, John texted Jennifer to make sure that he was at the right place. But according to her, he never actually entered the house. So at 12:31 a.m., Jennifer said that she texted John saying hello, and then again at 12:40 saying, "Pull up behind me," referring to her car that was parked in the driveway. And this is apparently before she witnessed Karen Reed drive away in her black SUV. So Jennifer said she watched as her black Lexus moved from its original spot on the street near the driveway and then proceeded towards the left side of the property. Then at 12:45, Jen texted John saying hello before watching the SUV drive away. Now, according to Karen, she said she dropped John off at the house but then went home because she wasn't feeling well. But according to Jennifer, John never came inside the house, so she assumed John and Karen just decided to go home together. So right from the start, we have a discrepancy. We know John got out of the car, but whether or not he went into the house is what is up for discussion. Now, court documents reveal that around 1 a.m., Karen allegedly left John a voicemail that said, in part, "You are a fucking loser, fuck yourself, and John, I fucking hate you." I have not heard this voicemail. I don't know the context of this voicemail yet. That is something I plan on getting into in part two. I want to get into the nitty-gritty in part two. I just want to talk about the facts as they appear in part one. So in the following hours, a big snowstorm hit the area as Karen fell asleep on the couch at John's house, with John's niece asleep upstairs and his nephew away at a sleepover. Now you have to remember, at this point, the niece and nephew are in their teens. So when she woke up wearing the same clothes that she wore the night before, she also realized John was not home. So she woke up John's niece to get a hold of Jennifer McCabe, because remember, John's niece is good friends with Jennifer's daughter. And it's unlikely that Karen had Jennifer's number, but the niece probably did. So Jennifer gets a call from Karen at around 4:53 a.m. from the niece's phone, and she is distraught, looking for John. Jennifer then offered to help Karen look for John, and they enlisted the help of a friend, Carrie Roberts, who was not at the house that night, to go and help them look for John. So at 5:07 a.m., a surveillance camera at John's house showed Karen's SUV coming really close to John's SUV in the driveway. Now, listen, I have watched this video. I will put it on our social media. Her SUV hits John's. Okay, there's you. If you really look at it, you can see the you can see John's SUV, which is parked in the driveway. You can see it budge a little bit. So there is contact made. There's some people who are like, no, it came extremely close. In my eyes, what I'm seeing is that her SUV came in contact with John's. So Karen has argued that she did in fact hit the SUV, cracking her taillight in the process. So this would have been her rear passenger side taillight, okay? I've seen this video. I'm going to put it on our socials. But in this video, the camera is angled above the garage facing the driveway. And from the bottom of the frame, you can see Karen's SUV backing out of the garage and then bumping into John's parked SUV that was parked kind of perpendicular at the end of the driveway. Now, John's house actually faces the street, but the garage is positioned on the side of the house. So you'd have to pull up the driveway and then take a sharp left to turn into the garage. And in the video, snow is coming down pretty hard, but if you look closely, it is clear, in my opinion, that the SUV does make contact. So this is very important, and you'll find out why later. That's why I'm really beating this into you, okay? So it makes sense that that is how her taillight was broken. At 5 a.m., Karen leaves to go look for John. She meets with Carrie and Jennifer at Jennifer's house, and from there, Carrie drives them over to the Alberts' house where Karen last saw John. On the way there, Carrie said that Karen was hysterical in the car, saying things like, could I have hit him? Did I hit him? As the three women approached the Albert home, it was in the 5 a.m. hour and the sun was still not up. Karen spots John before anyone else, and she frantically exits the car and immediately runs to John, who is lying near the road but in the grass on the left side of the Alberts property. But he's covered in snow. So when I say grass, you can't see the grass. That's just, it's part of his yard. He's covered in snow. So Karen clears the snow off of his torso and lifts up his shirt and lays on top of him in hopes of transferring some of her body heat to him. And then Carrie, who ran up behind Karen, brushed the snow off of his face, revealing blood around his mouth and nose, and the two women worked together to administer CPR. Meanwhile, Jennifer McCabe stood back and dialed 911. Now, according to the prosecution, a third party at one point told Jennifer to Google how long it would take to die in the cold. And so this Google search comes up later. We'll really dive into it in part two. But this Google search comes into question as to when it was searched. Was it searched in the 6 o'clock hour of the morning, or was it searched at like 2:37 in the middle of the night before John was ever found? And that is one of the big discrepancies, is when was this search made? Because you'll find out why. So at 6:04 on January 29th, the Canton Police Department receives a 911 call from Jennifer McCabe reporting that John O'Keefe was found in the snow of the home at 34 Fairview Road. At the time of the call, there was heavy snow on the ground and the temperature was in the teens. So as Officer Seraph arrived on the scene, he found three women waving him down, with two of the women performing CPR. And those three women were later identified as Karen Reed, Jennifer McCabe, and Carrie Roberts. So once an ambulance arrived, they transferred John to Good Samaritan Medical Center in Brockton, but he was pronounced dead at 7:50. In the few days that followed, Karen stayed at her parents' house while an autopsy was conducted on John's body. When Detective Michael Proctor arrived to ask her questions, she answered them willingly. And around that same time, Karen realized that she might need to retain a lawyer, so she hired David Yannetti. But let's back up and talk about Detective Michael Proctor. Who is he? Michael Proctor is a name to remember. He is a Massachusetts State Police officer, and he was assigned to the State Police Detective Unit. Michael Proctor wrote the criminal complaint that ultimately led to Karen's arrest, which came the day after she arrived back at her house on February 2nd, just 3 days after John's death. Now, come to find out, Michael Proctor had been friends with the Albert family for years, which Seems like a conflict of interest. In fact, Karen was able to find pictures of Brian Albert's nephew, Colin Albert, as a ring bearer in Michael Proctor's sister's wedding in 2012. There are even pictures of Michael Proctor posing with the Albert family and the McCabe family at a birthday party. There's pictures of Proctor and Colin dancing together at an event. There's just no denying that Michael Proctor was close with the Alberts and the McCabes. So he really should have recused himself from this case, but he didn't. Rather, he was made the lead detective. So the day that Karen was arrested, Karen was on the phone with a close friend of hers in Florida when over a dozen police officers descended on her house and arrested her at 7:40 p.m. that evening for killing John O'Keefe. But before we get into the actual charges, I want to take a quick break to thank the sponsors of this episode. So I've mentioned before on this podcast that one of my New Year's resolutions this year was to read more books. And I was so impressed by people who read so many books every year. And at the end of the year, they had this list of all the books that they read. And I was like, I need to read more. I know that I do. So I set myself a goal of completing at least 6 books by the end of the year. And thankfully, I've already completed 6, and it's only May. But I have been diving deep into my reading journey lately, and I am thrilled to share something that has been a total game changer for me, which is Book of the Month. Book of the Month is more than just a subscription service. They've made it their mission to help readers discover new books that they will love, but also promote the work of emerging authors. So every month, they present a selection of the best new titles. So for May, I chose Middle Tide by Sarah Crouch, which if you love like Ashley Flowers' All Good People Here or Where the Crawdads Sing, you'll love this book. It's a mystery thriller with some romance sprinkled in. It's perfect. It hits all the boxes for me. And the other book I chose for May was The Paradise Problem by Christina Lauren. And Christina Lauren is actually the combined pen name of 2 longtime writing partners and best friends, Christina Hobbs and Lauren Billings. I love that these 2 best friends collaborated to write this book. But they write a lot of young adult and adult fiction, a lot of romance, contemporary romance, stuff like that. So if you like Colleen Hoover, you would like this kind of book. The best part about Book of the Month, though, is that they offer these amazing books at fantastic prices, and shipping is always free. Plus, their loyalty program is just a cherry on top. It offers even better deals the longer that you stick around. So I'm genuinely impressed by how Book of the Month selects their books. Their editorial team goes through hundreds of titles to handpick the most engaging ones for us. And no matter which books you choose, you really are in for a treat. Also, Book of the Month's focus on new and emerging authors also allows them to offer books that their members would not have found otherwise. So there's really something for every type of reader. So right now, you can head over to bookofthemonth.com and snag your first book for a mere $5 using the code PETALS, P-E-T-A-L-S. It's such a good deal. I cannot recommend Book of the Month enough. It's not just about receiving books. It's also about the joy of discovery, the joy of reading. That's bookofthemonth.com. Use code PETALS to get your first book for only $5. Now, some of you may know that my other New Year's resolution was to take better care of my skin. And with this pregnancy, my skin has taken a beating. I literally texted one of my good friends who is a nurse injector. She works for like a med spa. And I was like, can you order Botox in bulk for when this baby comes out? Because the wrinkles and everything, the melasma, my dry skin, I'm having horrible breakouts. Like, it's just going through a lot. This pregnancy is really taking a toll on me. But even when I'm not pregnant, my skin goes through a lot during all the different stages of life. But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has a simple skincare routine that even sleep-deprived parents or pregnant people can handle. And it works by addressing skin issues at the cellular level. I am so grateful that I found them, especially when I'm pregnant and I can't get the injections. But now I'm like, do I even need any kind of injections after this pregnancy? Because I found a company that was founded all by women scientists. It is called OneSkin. OneSkin has developed a proprietary peptide called OS1 that is scientifically validated to improve the health of your skin beneath the surface without any irritation or complicated multi-step routines. And not only that, but their products are backed by extensive lab and clinical data to validate their efficacy and safety for use at any stage in life, even if you're pregnant. One of my favorite products is the OS1 Eye Topical Supplement because my eyes have just really been looking so tired and the skin around my eyes was really starting to look wrinkled and thin and just exhausted. But this stuff, it's so easy to use. You literally just pat your skin dry and apply twice daily. That's it. I follow some creators on TikTok who, you know, share their skincare routines or on Instagram or whatever. And it's always this very extensive multi-step process on how they get their great skin. What I love about OneSkin is that you don't have to use all these different kinds of toners and serums and snail mucins and all these things. You literally can just have the easiest routine thanks to OneSkin. If you want to keep it simple, you can get their bundle of the face and eye, which is what I'm currently using, and it's just two products. Boom, done. Or if you want to get more extensive, you can get a bundle of their face, eye, shield, body, and prep cleanser. You can make it as easy or as extensive as you want. What I really love about OneSkin is that they believe the purpose of skincare is not just to improve how you look, but optimize your skin's biology so that it is more resilient to the aging process. I'm not trying to completely avoid the aging process. I'm just trying to help manage it. And that's why I'm so glad I found OneSkin. It is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using the code MAMA, that's M-A-M-A, at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with the code MAMA. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. So please support your favorite Mama Mystery podcast and tell them that we sent you. All right, let's get back into the case of Karen Reed. So while she was in jail, Karen said that she and her lawyer reviewed the charging documents. She had been charged with manslaughter, motor vehicle homicide, and leaving the scene of a motor vehicle collision causing death. It would be the first mark on her otherwise spotless record. The medical examiner who conducted John's autopsy had noted several bloody abrasions, and I personally counted nearly a dozen. I will share the photo on our socials so that you can see it as well. These pictures are a little graphic, so just for warning, but you can see on John's right arm, he's got multiple like abrasions or lacerations on his arms. He also has two swollen black eyes, a small cut above his right eye, a cut to the left side of his nose, and approximately a 2-inch laceration on the back of his head. He had multiple skull fractures that resulted in bleeding of the brain. His pancreas was dark red, which indicated hypothermia had contributed to his death. So my first question when I read all of these findings is, they're alleging that she backed into him and then left. But that just seems like a lot of injuries for someone to just back into someone with their SUV. And they're very specific injuries, like all the cuts to his arms. How do you explain all the cuts to his arms by getting backed into when he's wearing a shirt? I don't know. It doesn't add up to me. It's not, the math ain't mathin', if you will. And then this 2-inch laceration to the back of his head, the multiple skull fractures. I mean, she would have had to hit him at like a very high rate of speed to create that kind of damage, right? But to have abrasions and bruising and, you know, injuries to the front of you while also having this 2-inch laceration on the back of your head, I don't know. It seems like way more involved than just getting hit by a car. Now, on June 10th of 2022, a Norfolk County grand jury indicted Karen Reed on the upgraded charges of second-degree murder, manslaughter while operating under the influence of alcohol, and leaving the scene of personal injury and death. She pleaded not guilty and was held on $100,000 bail, but she made bail and has been out on release since, awaiting her trial.
Now, Canton police officers said that after John's death, they searched the area near where John's body was found and found pieces from a broken cocktail glass, and then later pieces of a taillight at the scene that appeared to be similar to a broken right taillight on Karen's vehicle. But as I stated earlier, we know that the taillight damage was caused after, or we, I guess we don't know, but I feel like I know, that the damage to her taillight was caused after Karen left John at the Alberts house, before she ever returned to find him later that morning. The footage of her backing into John's SUV did not come out until after police said that they found those taillight pieces. So then, how did the taillight pieces end up at the scene? According to witness interviews, Karen allegedly told Jennifer that she last saw John at the waterfall and that she and John had gotten into a fight and that she didn't remember dropping him off at the party at 34 Fairview because she was intoxicated. Now, according to Carrie Roberts' account in the charging document, she said Karen was so drunk that night that she told Carrie in the morning she didn't remember anything from the night before, though she had wondered if John was dead or got hit by a snowplow, and that Karen still seemed drunk that morning. It was estimated that her BAC was 2 to 3 times over the legal limit at the time that she dropped John off at the Alberts. Carrie told police that before they found John's body, Karen showed them her cracked taillight, saying she had no idea how it happened the night before. And when an emergency responder asked Karen how John had injured his face, the document stated that Karen said, "I hit him, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him." But that is another thing that's been up for debate. The discrepancy is whether she said, "I hit him, I hit him," or "Could I have hit him? Did I hit him?" And wondering if she had hit him at the time. I mean, you have to remember in the moment she was hysterical. She allegedly didn't know where he was. And so she's trying to think of reasons for what might have happened to him or explanations. So the document also noted that police seized Karen's car and found that it had broken glass embedded in the rear bumper, a deep scratch and a dent on the right side of the rear tailgate, and 2 scratches plus some chipped paint on the right side of the rear bumper. All of this, the prosecution alleges, is enough to charge Karen Reed with the death of John O'Keefe, and their argument is that she was intoxicated when she backed up and struck John before then driving off to his house for the rest of the night. But then, as Karen's attorney was on his way home from that first court appearance, he received a phone call from someone who apparently gave a fake name, claiming that his client, Karen, was innocent and that John was actually beaten up by Brian Albert and his nephew, Colin Albert, that they broke John's nose and knocked him out, and that when he didn't come to, they then moved his body out into the front lawn. With this information, Karen's defense team hired a private investigator who knocked on neighbors' doors to ask questions about the night of John's death. Most people refused to answer any questions because this is a small town, news travels fast, and most of them were afraid to entangle themselves within a drama that involved the local police force, understandably so. However, one local, Tom Beattie, a friend of John and Karen's, admitted that his daughter, who was friends with Brian Albert's nephew, Colin, said that Colin was there at the party the night John died. So who is Colin Albert? Colin Albert is Brian and Nicole's nephew. Brian's brother, Chris, is Colin's dad. Now, his dad, Chris, was recently elected as a selectman, so another, like, influential, important person. A selectman kind of serves as a town's chief executive body. So they oversee the general operations of a city, and they're usually made up of a small group, like around 5, with the first selectman operating much like a mayor. So I actually had to look this up because I'm in the Midwest. We don't have selectmen. So I just wanted to make sure I understood what that position even meant. But Colin is frequently pictured holding up a fist or a middle finger in pictures that show him. He kind of appears as a hothead who likes to party. I'm going to play a couple clips of videos that he has posted to his social media.
You're a bitch, bro. Fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you, you pussy.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
clean cold, boy. You be knocked out. KO. Bang, bang.
Yo, your advantage, boys. I will beat all your asses. I promise you, I will fuck you all up. Pull up, bitch.
All right, so those are just two separate clips of Colin Albert. He's apparently at a party. He's sending these videos to someone he's trying to fight with. Now, listen, I don't believe that a 30-second audio clip of someone should really characterize their entire personality or reputation. But after everything that I've seen, I think it is a fair assessment to say that this kid is pretty immature. He has big muscles and he likes to flex a lot and, you know, flip the middle finger and get into fights. And so I feel like he's like that typical hothead. I hate to say this because it's going to come off as super judgmental, but just not a lot going on upstairs, but likes to just prove himself by his ability to fight. So I don't know. I feel like we've all kind of come across somebody like this, but I think he's also just very immature. He's also a part of a family that is very, very tight-knit. The Alberts across the board are very tight-knit. They're the type of family that protects their own no matter what. So a little backstory. Back in 2020, shortly after Karen and John rekindled their relationship, Karen said that she remembered a night when she was spending the night at John's house and his home alarm started going off. So he got up, ran downstairs, Karen ran after him, and allegedly found Colin Albert and his friends in John's front yard. And Karen said that she remembered Colin yelling at John to go fuck himself, and that John told him to get the fuck out of there. The next morning, they found tons of empty Bud Light cans in the yard and bushes, and that this created some bad blood between John O'Keefe and Colin Albert, which could be a possible motive for why he got into a fight that night at Brian's house, if that's what happened. But according to Colin, he said that he walked out of the house at 34 Fairview Road that night in January, right as Brian Albert was arriving home. And the two said that they said hello. Then Colin got into Jennifer McCabe's daughter's car, who then drove him home. Texts on Colin's phone confirmed that he was picked up at 12:10, and his parents say he was home for the rest of the night. Although, I take that with a grain of salt because when I read that the text message confirmed he was picked up at 12:10, my question is, how does that confirm anything? Like, maybe someone's saying here that they're there at 12:10 to pick him up, but that doesn't actually confirm that he left the house at that exact time. So that phrase, that sentence just confuses me, and I feel like I have questions. I have reasonable doubt. And also, who's to say that his parents aren't just lying for him to protect him? Like, that's certainly not out of the realm of possibility. So after hearing the background of this story, of course, there are a lot of questions that arise. Like, how did the taillight pieces end up at the scene if we know that the damage, or we have reason to believe that the damage to the taillight didn't happen until after Karen left John at the Alberts and actually happened back at John's house? And moreover, how would a body cause a taillight to break like that at a slow impact? Like, wouldn't you expect that kind of damage from hitting a harder surface? And how did John suffer so many injuries from a car backing up? Some of the abrasions on his arm resemble what look like scratches or bite marks even from a dog, not bite marks, but scratches that could be potentially from teeth or claws. So look at the picture, see for yourself, but tell me how, if you believe that that Karen Reed is guilty, then I need to know how you think those scratches got there. Because for me, a car backing into someone and then landing on the ground does not explain how those scratches ended up on his arm. And part of her defense, Karen's defense, is that in the midst of this fight, the Albert's German Shepherd attacked him during the fight. But again, we're going to get into all of that in part two, because there's also evidence or, you know, testimony about a canine DNA being found on him, not found on him. Like, we'll discuss the probability, the plausibility of all of these extra circumstances. I really just wanted to get the meat out for you so that you would have at least a basic understanding of this story before we get into the nitty-gritty, the conspiracies, the theories, and all of that. But another question that needs to be answered is why that search was found on Jennifer McCabe's phone, how long to die in the cold, and exactly what time was this search made? Because if Jennifer McCabe made that search at 2:37, which is alleged by the defense, then why would she have made that search? Because nobody at that time allegedly knew that John O'Keefe was in the front yard. However, if she made it in the 6 o'clock hour, like she said she did, then it might make more sense if somebody was telling her how, you know, Google how long it takes to die in the cold to see, you know, what John's chances were or like just how severe the situation was. So that is a question that I want to find the answer to. I don't even know if the answer truly exists because I think that there's still arguing that in the trial as it goes on currently. So these are just some of the many questions that I hope to address and answer in part two of this story next week on Mama Mystery. I want to know all your thoughts on this case. You can leave it in a comment section on Instagram at mama.mysterypodcast. If you're a Patreon listening to this, you can leave it in the comment section of this post on Patreon. If you want to, you know, submit a comment or a thought anonymously, you can go to mamamystery.com and fill out the form. Either way, I have a lot of questions. I'm hoping to answer or address those next week. So stay tuned. Thanks for hanging out with me today. I appreciate you. Mama Mystery out. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Make another smart choice with AutoQuote Explorer to compare rates from multiple car insurance companies all at once. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates. Not available in all states and situations. Prices may vary on how you buy.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.